Can I hear the echoes from the days of 39? Trenches full of bombs. Venganza.
Hey everybody, Tony at Large with you here, and welcome to the Eclectomaniac Radio Show.
Dancing in the rain with you, I felt so naked and alive.
Show me.
But once I didn't have to hide myself.
Dice, oye mamacita, ¿qué te pasa? Mira que ya estamos en mi casa. Si sientes que hay un gato ahí en tu mente, será por el exceso de aguardiente. Pero mami, tranquila, tú solo vacila. Estamos en Colombia y aquí rumbo en cada esquina. Y si tú quieres nos vamos por Detroit. Tú sabes, si sé de dónde viene, pues sepa dónde voy.
All right, that was the lead single from Madonna's 14th studio album, Madam X, Medellin.
Hola, señorita Cosa.
I have to say that is the version of the song that made me actually fall in love with the song.
Yeah. Fall in love with it?
Yeah. I love that version. I don't even listen to the original. I just listen to that version because I think it's so hot.
It's got really nice bottom to it.
It does. Yeah. Like, it just, it made the song. So, thanks, Offer Nassim.
Yes.
So, hey, guys. What's
Hi.
Up? What's going
Hi,
on?
Hi, everybody.
You know, the usual.
Well, there's lots we all, well, from last year, well, from the last couple of years, because we've kind of alternated different themes for June. We've done Pride shows. We've done African-American Music Appreciation Month shows in June, because all that is wrapped up in June. So happy Pride Month. Happy African-American Music Appreciation Month. Happy Juneteenth. Happy Pledge Drive. It's the Testify Pledge Drive.
Go
happy
summer.
Go summer, go Madam X. Like, it's all happening in June. So talk to me about Madam X. What are we feeling about it? Let's just get right to it.
I like it. I think it's very interesting and artful, and I'm interested.
Have you read any of the reviews that have been coming in?
I read one today. It had a little snippet, like in quotations, like kind of amplified, so you just, you know, like inside the article, just, but it said, a quote, but it just said, her auto tune is so thick, she sounds like Cher with her jaw wired shut.
Oh my God. That is not what I expected you to say. Jeez Louise.
Which I just thought that was such a funny thing to say, but it is very auto tuned. Every song is very auto tuned, but
every
single song,
pretty much.
Well, the word that keeps pop, because I've read a number of reviews that have come out so far, and one of the key words that keeps cropping up, or a couple of the key words, are weird and bizarre. Like, everyone thinks it's really weird.
It is.
I like that. I like the artfulness. I like that it's, you know, it's not just making a pop record.
Yeah,
which I think it's smart on her part, because what else is she gonna do? You know, is she gonna put out like a Cher album? No, she can't. People would immediately reject that if she did, unless it was, you know, just nothing but bangers. But then
you think so?
Oh well, I think people would have people are gonna have a problem with no matter what she does.
True.
Like, true that.
Yeah. Have you seen the Dark Ballet video?
I have seen it.
Yeah.
It's very curious.
It's dark. I like that you only see her for one snippet.
Beautifully shot. I think it's visually really stunning.
Yeah, I really like what's the song we heard in the car today right before we got here?
Hold on. God Control.
Yeah.
Real disco.
Yeah.
Like, there's some dance. There's some like one or two like really kind of like, oh, I'm interested in this.
And, yeah.
I Don't Seek, I Find is a jam. I think it's a fascinating song.
So we've got.
But they're all weird. You know, they all go in and out of beats and into spoken word, into whispers, into bizarre raps. almost where, you remember in Truth or Dare where she does that, she's sitting with her brother at the table and they do that rhyme about beans?
Oh, yeah.
One of the raps in, I think it's in God Control. It sounds like the same tempo as that bean rhyme.
Maybe she's paying tribute. She's being self-referential a lot lately.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm on board. I'm interested.
All right, Madonna.
Yeah, I'm curious what she's going to do live. You know.
Yes. So have you given up on the Madam X tour?
I don't know how we got tickets.
Oh, you did get tickets.
In that ridiculous request process, we got the last two seats in the last row of the last show. I don't know how it happened.
In Brooklyn?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got cheap seats. And then they went on public sale a couple weeks ago. And our same tickets were multiplied by 6, the cost.
What?
Yeah. It's crazy. Really bizarre. I don't understand this ticket process. People are freaking out.
Yeah. It seems very convoluted. And it does beg the question, like, why? Like,
why? What are they trying to do?
I mean, and it's kind of, it does her fans a disservice because Madonna fans are the first ones with their credit cards ready at 10 a.m. when the tickets go on sale. She took away that choice, or it's not she did, I'm sure she didn't, but
well, whoever made the decision.
Yeah, Ticketmaster or Live Nation, they just took away choice. It's really silly.
So when is it?
October 7 is the last show in New York.
All right. Excelente.
Yeah.
Which leads me to my, just with the opening of the show with all of that Spanish goings on. People are like, what was all that about? I come back from my little annual sojourn to Europe, and this year, last year was Italy, mm-hmm. this year was Spain. Mm-hmm. So that was a terrific trip, and, you know, I always like to sort of throw in a little flavor of my journeys and exploits, I guess.
Bringing something back.
To the show.
A souvenir.
So that's what that was about. So.
A souvenir for your listeners.
Okay, so let's recap the top of the show. Tell the kids what we played.
Hola.
As we said, we ended the opening block with Medellin. That was the Offer Nassim Madame X in the Sphinx mix. Madonna featuring Maluma, Slow Down Poppy. Didn't you hear about that on Instagram? No. It's kind of cute. He posted some shirtless selfie or whatever on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And that was her comment. Slow Down Poppy. Cute. Released in April as a lead single from Madonna's 14th studio album, Madame X, as we said, Medellin is named after the Colombian city. It's also where her featured guest artist on the track Maluma was born. Before that, we had Barcelona by Plasticines. It's from their second studio album called About Love from 2009. And the Plasticines, if you're not familiar, are an all-female French rock band, which I thought that was very appropriate because not only did I go to Spain, but I went to France. So that track kind of got everything in there. A French band singing about Barcelona.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Before that was Spanish Bombs by The Clash from their 1979 album London Calling, the lyrics comparing modern day tourism to the circumstances of the Spanish Civil War deep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we open the show with España Cani, or Cani, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, which it means Gypsy Spain. So however you say it, those of you who speak Spanish can feel free to correct me. It is a paso doble written around 1923. It was hard to kind of find specific information about this by a man named Pascal Marquinho Naro, I'm assuming.
Okay. Yeah.
So that was all I was able to dig up on that.
No.
So before we take our first commercial break, our guest tonight will be Love Cani, the LA drag artist who has been blowing up the spot this year with appearances on RuPaul's Drag Race and all kinds of stuff, a new web series. So we'll be chatting with Love Cani a little bit later in the show. So keep it right here, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with a lot more Eclectomaniac right after these messages.
Come on up and testify.
We're hoping that you'll call in and testify your support for community radio in this area. 518-697-7400 or online at wgxc.org/donate. We're almost halfway to our goal to have enough sustaining supporters to reduce pledge drives on the air on WGXC and make community radio a permanent part of the media landscape in the Hudson Valley. For Democracy Now! Every morning at 8 a.m., for music from around the world, candidate forums and political debates, community forums, and more throughout the Hudson Valley, testify your support at 518-697-7400 or online at wgxc.org/donate.
I'm going to see if I can get one of my friends to come up here and testify for me. I'm talking about Raymond. I'm talking about Raymond. Come on, Ray, the genius. Come on and testify, son. Go ahead, son. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Chris France of Talking Heads, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC, Accra.
We are back. You're listening to the Eclectomaniac radio show. I'm here with my co-hosts, Jeff McKinney and Seth Davis. Now, did you guys watch the Tony Awards?
No.
Do you ever watch the Tony Awards?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
I look at highlights the next day.
It was pretty boring. It was actually, I think I read the all-time lowest ratings ever for the Tony Awards. Aww. Like, they cannot
I don't know, they just can't like compete or whatever.
Yeah.
And I always wonder, like, what could they do? I guess people are just not interested in the theater.
I don't know, make them an hour long.
Well, that would help all of them, actually. So let's get back to the music.
Yeah.
Next up, we've been playing a lot of her lately, but I'm not going to stop because she's so fabulous and I can't get enough. Our girl Lizzo. Oh,
so,
my
so God. Hot right now.
And for good reason. Like, it's just, it's just, it won't stop. The fabulousness just won't stop. So
this is her year.
It is. Her and Love Connie. It's their year.
They should do something together.
They should. You hear that, Love Connie? This is Like a Girl. It's from her recently released major label debut on Atlantic Records, 'Cause I Love You. And if you haven't heard it, check it out. It's fantastic. It got 4 out of 5 stars in Rolling Stone. She is just working it, and this is a stone cold jam as far as I'm concerned. So turn it up on the Eclectomaniac Radio Show.
Woke up feeling like I just might run for president, even if there ain't no precedent. Switching up the messaging, I'm about to add a little estrogen.
Was Lizzo with Like a Girl. We love that song.
Love it.
Lizzo's fabulous.
She can sing.
She really can sing. And you know what? Listening to some of the songs, I'm kind of, she's almost like a female CeeLo Green.
Exactly.
Like, I keep getting that vibe, like, from some of these songs.
Yeah.
Like, that's another person she should, like, duet with.
She was on a really good interview with Terry Gross. Fresh Air.
I heard part of it.
Did you hear part of it?
I didn't hear the whole thing.
The whole thing is worth listening to. And I think she was the only person on that entire episode, because usually they'll have, like, you know, an interview and
yeah, she'll split
else.
It.
Yeah. And it was just Lizzo. It was really interesting.
Awesome.
She rapped for Prince.
She sure did. Yes. The part I heard was very interesting, just like her background and the flute and like all of that and how she kind of fell into rapping. And it was, she's an interesting gal.
Yeah.
She is. I like her.
So hot. Right.
Agreed.
All right, so we're going to get right back to the next track. Really super excited about this, and I've never considered myself a Chemical Brothers fan, but I really like the song We've Got to Try. This is the fourth single from their recently released ninth album, No Geography. It contains a sample from I've Got to Find a Way by the Hallelujah Chorus, and it's so good.
The whole album is worth checking out.
Oh, is it? Yeah. You have it?
Oh, yeah.
We used to go see the Chemical Brothers all the time down in the city.
Yeah.
Really? Wasn't that big fans?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
going way back.
Would play clubs, so you would see them, and it would be so incredible. Wasn't that the one where Jen tried to be Neve Campbell?
Yeah. Yeah, they were, Jen and I were at this club, and it was, they were just in the DJ booth. And so we tried a couple of different attempts to get into that booth, including, like, me holding my...
Oh, Chemical Brothers.
Chemical Brothers were in the DJ booth. And so, like, I think I tried to hoist her into it at one point, and then we finally went around and tried to talk our way in by her saying that she was Neve Campbell. Like, and that'll tell you how long ago this concert was.
Did they buy it?
No.
Oh, okay.
But this was back when, like, Neve Campbell... I think Party of Five was probably still on. So, like, that's how long ago
we're talking. She does have a Neve Campbell vibe. And now that you mention it, that's so funny. That's so funny.
They didn't buy it.
But anyway, this is Chemical Brothers on the Eclectomaniac Radio Show.
Yes, I know we can make it go. If Woods and Monte Carlo and El Dorado. Don't wake it up out of my slumber, feeling like Rollo. So follow, it's showtime at the Apollo minus the Kiki Shepherds. With about a hoe and a leopard print. Teddy, Pendergrass, cooler than Freddie Jackson, sipping a milkshake in a snowstorm. That's why so warm in the dorm room at the AU. We blue hate two athletes might take you, but you must have been mistaken with them statements that you make, huh?
Nobody don't ask me, I'm just so fresh,
so fresh and so clean, clean.
My nigga Bongo hooked it up, oh my god. Dip my rim today so they can ride out to the honeycomb pie out. I'm gonna show you how to wild out like Jack Tripper. Let me be Bambino on your slippers, YKK on your zipper. Lick you like a lizard when I'm a slizzard, a sober. 6 million ways to fold you, like Noah. I get two seduced and you get pretty deep. But I call your ass from 80s, I know you'll be there for me, girl.
Ain't nobody don't ask me, I'm just so fresh,
so fresh and so clean, clean.
Baby eyes get to running off at their mouth and telling me everything that's on your nasty mind. They say you're malnutrition and need a vitamin D and invite me to that tingle in your spine. I love who you are, love who you ain't. You're so Anne Frank. Let's hit the attic to hide out for about 2 weeks. Rick chains and no chains and whips. I do suck lips till hips jerk. And double time, the boy next door's a freak. Ha ha. On the planet, the sky is falling, ain't no need to panic. I got a stick and won't you automatic? Compatible, created in the attic. We are the coolest motherfuckers on the planet. The sky is falling, ain't no need to panic. I got a stick and won't you automatic? Compatible, created in the attic.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's such a great remix, too. Yeah. That was the Altered Tapes remix from Outkast, the third and final single from their fourth studio album, Stankonia. I've never known how I felt about that album title.
It's like, different.
It makes, stinks. I don't know. It makes me feel funny or something.
Yeah. Need a shower.
This next track, actually... Do you know much about Hot Mood, the artist who created this?
No. Okay. I know he's a guy. That's all.
The only, they're like, sometimes you go onto the internet and you can just find more than you ever bargained for. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's a desert. Like, just like, there's no information. Like, the only thing that I could dig up on Hot Mood is he's from Guadalajara, Mexico.
Oh.
That's all I know. So this is My Bright Red Juicy Lips by Hot Mood, and it features Grace Jones prominently. So this is super fun. Turn it up.
Thank you. We've never seen her share. We've heard a little bit about it, but you tell us what happened.
Well, I come in on the bike, all dressed in black. You can hardly see anything, just my bright red, juicy lips.
right size. You're just the right size. You're just the right size. Giusta. Mamma mia, la tua messuria è giusta. Mi piace, mi piace. You're just the right size. You're just the right size.
That was You're Just the Right Size by the JMJ Edit from Charo and the Saul Soul Orchestra. Such a hot song.
I didn't know that song.
You haven't heard it before?
No.
I discovered it on Spotify. I was just listening to a station or whatever on Spotify, and it, you know, how algorithms or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I guess it figured I would like Charo based on my listening habits. So it just like popped up one day, and I was like, I didn't know what or who it was, but I was like, oh, I like the song. And so when I, you know, looked at the screen to see who it was, I was like, oh my God, it's Charo.
So this is what she does when she's not on the Love Boat.
So it was, the song itself was originally released by just Saul Soul Orchestra back in 1975. And then Saul Soul, that's very hard for me to say, Orchestra.
Saul Soul.
Collaborated with Charo in 1977 for her album, Coochie Coochie.
Hey.
Which I think they produced the entire album. Mm-hmm. And they pulled this one onto the record and had her as the featured vocalist. So it's a jam. Okay, so what's next? We're going to go to a commercial next. That's what we're going to do because it's time.
All right, let's do it.
And we'll be back right after this.
This is WGXE's Testify Pledge Drive, and we are asking you to call in with a pledge. Please call in at 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate. And testify about your favorite shows on WGXE or what you might like to hear on the radio. But make that call and pledge your support today. Please help keep local radio alive. Call 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Oh, honey, I want to go upstate where the 20-somethings are covering themselves with their canvases in their car to keep warm during those cold summer nights. I want to go up to that Rev where that Jerry is. Wow, he's a real pistol. He's going to tell me a funny story and then get a biscotti from the old sliding glass case. Why do you sound like a pirate, honey? Oh, when I go to Hudson, I feel like a pirate. Oh, honey, I love seeing all the people frolicking in the fields with their mushroom patch. Oh, I get some of those mushrooms and get over to the St. Charles and start one of them whoop-de-doo parties.
Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday from 9:30 to midnight.
Yes, sir, it's your boy, Big Vern. You're listening to WGXC, ACRA, 90.7 FM, and WGXC.org. You heard?
And we're back.
All right. I'll have what Battlefield Earth is happening.
You know it. Okay, guys. Our guest tonight is a true original. Love Connie is a Los Angeles-based drag artist, the creation of performer John Candwell, who you may also know from his scene-stealing moment as Maurice, the bend-and-snap guy from the 2001 film Legally Blonde. Love Connie is having a blockbuster year. Recent guest appearances on season 11 of RuPaul's Drag Race, as well as the Drag Race finale. A triumphant appearance at LA Drag Con and a new web series on WOW Presents Plus called Conniewood. We are so excited to welcome the one and only Love Connie. Welcome to the Eclectomaniac Radio Show.
Thank you. Oh my God, that was all correct information. No one's ever done any research.
Well, first off, congratulations for all of this great success you're experiencing this year. So many exciting things are happening. I think it is safe to say you made one of the most fun and memorable guest appearances ever on RuPaul's Drag Race this season. You took the show by storm and have received such great response on social media. So how was that experience being featured on the episode and the finale too?
It was great. And it's, you know, it's kind of a big loose party, and it's you go in, you know, aware of what you're going to do, but also aware that you are kind of like bait on the end of a hook, and you're just kind of being thrown over this vast sea of drag, and you know, who knows what could happen. You know, the reality shows do have that element of improv, because everyone's got a big mouth and we're all trying to be seen.
Right.
Especially on a, you know, with a bunch of drag queens. There were like 10 drag queens still on the episode when I came on. So yeah, I'm also very unpredictable. So that kind of scares me sometimes too, because I don't really have an edit button. And, you know, as you know, from the stage and from club, you know, live stuff, and now everyone tapes everything. So there's that kind of secret, that secret society of when you used to could get away with being really, really politically incorrect or whatever. And now, you know, when there's a camera on you recording it, and you're now everyone's aware that I've been edited a certain, you know, aware of all that. And you're like, oh my God, you better watch out. But luckily it turned out pretty good for me. I have to say I haven't received really any negative feedback.
No, I haven't seen any at all.
Were you happy with how the episode looked?
Oh, yeah. And I was, you know, you also get, like I say, you get really I was really nervous. I don't know if people do, but I didn't want to really go anywhere. I certainly did not want to go out into a bar, you know, at some viewing night and watch it with people because, I'll tell you a funny story. That TV show, Dharma and Greg, remember that show?
Yeah.
Well, I had gotten like a small part on there, and I remember telling everyone, and none of my friends watched that show, and it was kind of an annoying show. I shouldn't say that maybe, but it wasn't something that any of my friends watched. But I was like, watch me. And then they all tuned in, and then my part was cut.
Aww.
And I felt so guilty because I had made them all watch a show that they really didn't want to watch.
Oh, no.
So that's kind of that when you learn, you need to wait until it just make dance, because you never know. They could cut you completely out, and you just never know. So I was like, I'm not going there.
That's your Dharma and Greg lesson.
Lesson, you can learn something from Jenna Elfman. They cut me out, damn it. I had a great line.
That's so funny.
Do you remember the line?
I do. Dharma was doing a lot of good deeds. Something happened with Dharma's karma. She felt like she literally was.
That's
that
the spinoff show.
I remember that should have been her daughter's name. If they would have gotten to the point where Dharma and Greg had a baby, her daughter would have been Karma. And she would have, you know, wound up singing back up for Prince. But anyway, she was doing things like she was going around feeding money, nickels into meters, you know, being a good Samaritan so people wouldn't get tickets written. And then she was running for city council or something. But her lack of karma, her bad karma, whatever was going on, was manifesting in physical illnesses. So she had a sty. I think she might have had a herpes on her lip. Her hair may have had like a pine cone. It was just these wacky things. And she was going on a news show, and I was her makeup artist. And she was like, you know, do whatever you can. And I think my line was, honey, this is a blush brush, not a magic wand. And I remember, and I think I may have even tripped over blush brush, you know what I mean? When you're one of those, you know, because back then, you know, when you were the openly gay actor, you got hairdressers, you know, sassy friend, what you were stereotyped into. So, and usually it was a one line part, kind of like the bend and snap, you know what I mean? That same type of thing. Absolutely. Where it's like, you got one chance, don't screw it up. Uh-huh. And sometimes that could be very nerve-wracking, even when you're playing, you know, a sassy gay guy, which you are a sassy gay guy, so just get the line out. But sometimes it's cut. Sometimes they want more Dharma and less gay guy with makeup brush,
you know? Right. Well, you know, it's so funny. I didn't realize that we have quite a few things in common. We both have roots in Louisiana, because I was born in Louisiana. You were born in Mississippi, though, right?
But I was just born across the river into Mississippi, because my mother was not going to have a baby up at the Madison Parish Hospital. Mama was like, ain't nobody from the church that's working in that hospital going to see me push out of my fourth child. She was like, I'm just going to sneak on over here across the bridge in Vicksburg, Mississippi, have that baby, and then I'll come on back to Tallulah.
Oh, okay. So that's how it went down.
That is exactly how it went down.
Yes. So yeah, we have that in common. We were both aerobics instructors because I taught aerobics when I first moved to New York City. And we both have a deep appreciation for music, pop culture, Vanity Six, amongst many other things.
Not to be confused with Apollonia Six.
That's right. And this is the other thing that I didn't realize, that we were both as children obsessed with the book Helter Skelter.
Really?
Yes.
And you know, that's all coming back. I'm kind of like, I'm not.
The Tarantino film, right?
I don't know what's going on with that movie because it's confusing me, because I don't know anything about it, but I have a lot to say about it. Well, he's one of my favorite directors, but I didn't like Death Proof at all. That was the first one that kind of disturbed me. I just did not like that movie at all. So the thing about the Tarantino movie is, I think that Leo and Brad, they to me look cuter than they've ever looked before, and immediately I want to go see them because I'm not the biggest fans of them, but I love them when they're cute.
Me too.
And they look so cute and like young and sexy, but I'm not buying Margot Robbie as Sharon Tate at all. Sharon Tate, she's a Texas blonde, number one. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just something about me not wanting to go as the best actress is going to get the part, and maybe I'm judging her. Texas blondes are a rarefied. I feel as though Texas blondes, you know, you got to remember it's Farrah Fawcett, mm-hmm. Sharon Tate, Anna Nicole Smith, Jerry Hall. Those are mega blondes. And I kind of wanted that in there. I don't know. I really just don't want to go there. I'm becoming an old woman to where I'm like Joan Crawford. I'm like Joan Crawford in that interview on the Mike Douglas show in the 70s where he asks about like what she's seen recently. And she's like, well, I don't go see movies today because they're filth. That filth. And it sounds like something our mammals would have said south, would have been like, you turn that filth off.
Right, right.
Well, I ain't going to see that Tarantino filth. I guess what I'm sensing is that I'm fascinated with tragic blondes. Mm-hmm. And Connie is a tragic blonde. You know, she really is. So let's wrap it up.
All right.
We made sense of it. That's why people like Love Connie and like what I do is Love Connie, because that kind of victim, that type of, she is a tragic blonde where she gets beat down and people can empathize and sympathize with her. A friend of mine did a review of a show and he was comparing me to Carrie, Sissy Spacek, mm-hmm. where he's like, oh my God, Connie, no, Connie, get up. You know, don't let him bully you. Whoa, Connie, slow down. Oh my God. And it's like, you know, all of a sudden Carrie's burning the damn school down. And it's like, Carrie, wait, slow down. We don't have to take it that far. So, and that's also kind of ties into the punk aesthetic of a performer like me and like you, like when you were with the Nellie Olsons and the things we did with the Nellie Olsons, that was the gay punk aesthetic. There's still never been anything like the Nellies.
No,
you know, there's still never been a gay, and you and I share that we were part of that, even not at the same time, but there was still, you know, we know the two people responsible for that and they're, you know, 100% original, and there's still no one like them that writes like that, which is something that's not lost on me with the Conniewood, with mm-hmm. the web series,
right.
Because, you know, the first person I grabbed was Terrence Michael, who created the Nellie Olsons with Nora Burns.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know how to write for me. You
is
know
he writing
exactly.
for you?
I don't know if you've seen it, but if you see the show, you will recognize a lot of stuff from the Nellie Olsons. Like Connie does phone sex, like the Call Me's.
The Call Me's were
always a part of the Nellie Olsons. Yeah. You know, when Nora would do that Ann Coulter phone sex line, that was so funny. Call me, I'm waiting. And those were all those weird Robin Bird phone sex lines that were on cable on the J channel in New York. And now there's so much out there. What network is that on? Oh, it's for Amazon. Amazon? Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Netflix? Oh, I'm just getting around to web series. I was that actor that never wanted to go. 10 years ago, they'd be like, you have an audition Thursday? And I'd be like, ooh, for what? And, you know, I'd always wanted to be like, oh, a David Lynch French film? And it'd be like, no, no, John, there are no sassy hairdressers
in
Twin Peaks, you know, or whatever you have in your mind. And it would be like, oh, it's for a web series. And I'd be like, a web series? I don't even know what that is.
I want to talk about the series a little bit more, but before we do, tell our listeners a little bit more about Connie.
Well, I was just hanging, you know, I went to college at Louisiana College. Are you aware of Louisiana College?
I'm not.
It's the Southern Baptist
University
there. Oh, they're crazy now. Like, you would not believe. It's like, I swear they are handling snakes at chapel services. I'm serious. But anyway, you know, that's also the first town that I ever, you know, you move away from home, you go to college. That's why it's important to go to college, not for an education, but just to get away from your parents and kind of establish yourself, especially if you're a gay kid, because that's when you discover, ooh, where's the local gay bar?
Yeah.
So I went to the gay bar, and then I started meeting other gay people, because all the gay kids on campus of the Southern Baptist College were in the closet. So, you know, you'd still find each other at the gay bar and other friends. So for some reason, we love, another thing we have in common, we love beauty pageants.
That's
down
right.
south. And Connie was something that we would always do. And it went like this. Hello, my name is Connie Slocum. I love children. I love all kinds of children. I love black children. I love white children. I love Mexican children. I love Chinese children. That's why in the fall I plan to major in fashion. Thank you. But I liked those girls who would enter the pageant and get it all wrong, you know? So I always wanted Connie to be that type of girl. But then 10 or 12 years later, when I found myself in New York, I had seen a Nellie Olson show, but there were like 6 or 8 Nellies. It was Maggie Moore and Julie Wheeler and Terrence and Nora. It was all these people, and they were doing John Waters spoofs, and there was a guy doing a pageant character, and I was auditioning for musical theater and stuff like that.
Okay.
But I immediately saw that and I said, oh, I can do that. And then maybe a month later, I saw an ad in Backstage. And it said, the Nellie Olsons are seeking, you know, replacement members, but they were seeking women.
Okay.
I had an address, so I submitted my headshot. And apparently they tell the story that they got 2 guys. Headshots from that request for females.
Okay.
One guy had drawn hair, like Farrah Fawcett hair on his headshot. And the other guy, me, wrote, I do a mean Taffy Davenport.
Well, that's going to get Terrence character. Michael's attention.
You know it, because Terrence played Taffy Davenport, and I was, before I even auditioned, I was already ready to take that part right out from under his nose. I was like, nope, I can do it better. Months later, they've called me in because they were looking for a guy, because they had taken this other guy to Provincetown.
Oh, boy.
And didn't have the best experience with him or something. But anyway, they brought me in. John, listen to this. John, and now I'm demanding that you listen to this. John Epperson was directing this show. John Epperson is Lipsinka, you know, one of the most famous drag queens of all time.
Yes.
Most people would know that because they only know drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race, but they did exist, and they're all the same age as RuPaul. They're still alive. And Lipsinka is one of them. They asked me what characters I did, and of course, I didn't write, and I had no characters. And then I said, oh, I do this character, Connie. Her name's Connie. And I launched into the I love children. I did that in the middle of a coffee shop in Soho.
Uh-huh.
And John thought I was insane. I think Nora thought I was funny. And I think Terrence thought I was funny. And their decision was literally, he's either going to be really brilliant or really insane. And I think they got enough of both. And they didn't require me to write anything. And that was really, it got me into a very comfortable place, because that I don't think actors who are just actors who wait around for the phone to ring or their agent to call, that just are a hired hand, that don't really create. Once, you know, you do that, and then you realize your hands are tied and you are not going to perform unless you can create. And I knew that was just, I wasn't going to play hairdressers, and I wasn't going to be able to do these one line. I just wasn't even going to be able to go to those auditions anymore.
Right.
So it just, you know, 10 years ago when I started creating content, Connie, like full time Connie. It was that. It was like, oh my God, I've had these guys writing brilliant comedy for me for 10 years. What the hell am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And that's why the first Connie shows, there's no dialogue. It's just dance, you know, because I knew I could move and I knew I could.
Oh, so that kind of informed the structure of your shows then.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I knew I couldn't write. I knew I could tell a story. And then you just learned that you're not really an actor after all. You're a performer.
Well, your stage shows are really kind of put Connie on the map. They're must-see in L.A. They're these multimedia dance extravaganzas. They're so original and they're joyous and they're just fun. And I love how much music plays a part. Like, it drives the narrative. Being a huge music fan, which we all are here.
Oh, yeah.
That's an aspect of your show construction that I really, really appreciate.
Well, that's the aerobics instructor in you. That's all that is. It is, but it's 30. But I've been doing, I did that for 30 years and I just retired last year.
Oh, boy.
But literally, it's like when you've done that, when you're used to putting a 45 minute or an hour workout together and it's driven by music and the music has to motivate the workout and you have to do different tempos and everything. I knew I could put together a banging soundtrack. So I knew those are the things I knew. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I could move and be a ham bone and get away with that. I knew that. That was the same thing with that damn web series. They were after me for like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And I literally just sat there going, I just don't know what to do because I work alone. I don't really, you know, like I say, it's like I call Terrence when I'm in a pinch or I'll call another, you know, smart writer friend and just, you know, but I'm even scared to do that because my art is so insular and I've created it all my own. I've also gotten to that weird Howard Hughes point or Dina Martina point where I kind of you don't want the help. I have the best Dina Martina. Okay. There was one time that Dina Martina, This is the crux of collaboration when you're not an industry person. You know what I mean? When you're not used to working with a team, when you're an outsider and you're weird and everything, but Dina was doing a show and I was like, Dina, oh my God, I have a suggestion for you. And I was about to say it. And it was literally going to be, you have got to cover Samantha Fox. I want to have some fun. That's all it was going to be. And I think we would all agree that that would be genius because it was after I had seen Dina Martina open a show with Janet Jackson's Control.
Uh-huh.
I just loved it. It was like, I have never heard someone interpret a song like that and look like that. If anybody's seen Dina Martina.
Yeah.
But I was like, I have a suggestion for you. And he's like, oh, no, wait, no. And I'm like, what? And he's like, don't, please don't tell me. I was like, okay. And she's like, well, no, I'll explain why. If it's a great idea, I'm going to be mad that I didn't come up with it. And if it's a terrible idea, I'm going to think less of you. And I kind of agree with that.
Well, before we let you go, I do want to cover one last thing. Like, as I mentioned in the introduction, you have a permanent place, in my opinion, in pop culture history as the bend and snap guy, Maurice.
Oh, yes.
From Legally Blonde. Like, what do you recall about...
You're the only person that knows his name, Maurice.
Hilarious. So what do you recall about filming that scene and what are your thoughts, especially all these years later, to having such an iconic moment in that film?
Well, I could talk again a lot about it. It was one of those weird things that you just luckily happened to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I always liked being associated with blondes. Like, we've already talked about Sharon Tate and everything. And, you know, my big love is Deborah Harry. So just the title Legally Blonde, I got to get in this movie. I love this. I want that on my resume. And the casting director had seen Nellie Olson's for years, was one of Nora's good friends, Joseph Middleton. But he said, you know, hey, there's this movie coming up and you just come on in and be the big queen that you are. And you got the part. I went in there and was a big old queen and did it. And they laughed and I got the part.
Okay.
And you actually at the very end of the movie, my hand has a little part where I'm combing the back of Holland Taylor's hair, and you can see me very realistically styling Holland Taylor's hair at the very end. So I actually have two scenes in Legally Blonde.
Excellent.
But the other thing about that is that was actually, and I always had hopes that they would release a special edition, because that number, you know who else was on set that day?
Huh.
Tony Basil.
No way.
She absolutely was, and she was setting that whole number. And what you don't see is that it really was a big production number. They had this whole I'm getting chills thinking about it. But you know,
Well, we got the behind the scenes scoop of Legally Blonde.
Oh, there's more.
So before we let you go, with every guest, we always ask them a series of questions. It's called the Eclectomaniac Questionnaire. It's a blatant ripoff of the Proust Questionnaire. I'm just going to ask the question and just say sort of the first thing that comes to mind. Don't overthink it.
Oh, okay.
You ready?
You go ahead.
Okay. What turns you on?
Blondie.
What turns you off?
Is it one word answers I'm supposed to be giving you? Because I like that game.
Yeah, ideally.
What turns me off? Oh, miscommunication.
What do you value most in your friends?
Truth.
What annoys you?
Miscommunication.
First record you purchased with your own money.
That would be Parallel Lines by Blondie.
Nice. What was your first concert?
Oh, I have the best one. Elvis Presley.
What?
Yes, when I was in first grade, because my mother every woman down south loved Elvis Presley,
because
he was from Mississippi. And he would play the Monroe Civic Center. And this would have been 1974, so 3 years before he had died.
Wow.
But he was in bad shape, though. It was like he was really bloated, and you could tell he was not long for the world. Or at least that's what my mother.
What an incredible story
yes,
to tell.
I know. And then Olivia Newton-John, 1975, right after.
Sweet.
Right when I know. So, sorry, two answers. Sorry.
Okay. A song that you love no matter how many times you've heard it.
Dreaming by Blondie.
And lastly, your favorite album or artist of all time, which I think I know what this is going to be.
I think you know what the answer is. But I love Blondie. I love David Bowie. I love Roxy Music. And, those are the three biggest influences. This was so much fun. I'm so sorry no one else got to talk.
You're on the show to talk. We talk all the time, so it's fun to have guests on. And especially one as entertaining and enjoyable to talk to as you.
That's right. Thank you again so much for visiting with us. Continue success to you. We're all rooting for you, and we're all huge fans.
Yeah.
I love you, Tony. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. If a girl answers, don't hang up.
Just talk about her.
Bye.
Wasn't John great? Whoosh. Don't you love Connie?
Yes.
Just rocking
it. That was fun. Yeah.
That was fun.
If he ever visits, we need you to have him come in and just sit in the studio with us for the full 2 hours.
I know. He'd be a great in-studio guest. He'd be awesome. Thanks, love, Connie.
Yes, thank you.
You keep on high kicking, girl. Okay, back to the music. Next up is Chaka Khan. We've been playing a lot of her too, and I don't care.
Nope.
I'm going to keep on.
Chaka Khan.
We've been kind of featuring tracks from her new album, which is fabulous. Mm-hmm. But we're going to go back a little bit. This is a track from her third solo studio album, What You Gonna Do For Me, from 1981. It's called I Know You, I Live You. This is the retro Roland Riso soulful revisit. Written by Chaka and Arif Mardin, the incomparable Arif Mardin, who produced the album as well. They were on a roll. They had a lot of success. And this is hot, hot, hot. So turn up Chaka on your radio. We'll be right back. again, that was Erica. And going back to Shaka for a minute, she's busy, busy, busy too. So this summer, she is taking part in a co-headlining tour with Michael McDonald, opens June 19th in Detroit and goes through August 4th in Rohnert Park, California. And other Shaka news, she just signed with ICM Partners for worldwide representation. Oh.
All right.
Check her out. And if that's not enough, she just launched a new wig line.
All right.
Called Shaka by Indique Collection. Oh. So if you want your Shaka hair, you can now.
Right.
You can buy it.
Shaka can. Oh. It's her year.
It is. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Eclectomaniac Events.
WGXE's Testify Pledge Drive has begun. Please call in at 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxe.org/donate. Don't let the 3300 watts on 90.7 FM go to waste. Keep the frequency full of music from around the world and talk from around the corner. Call in at 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate.
The Catskill Public Library staff loves having the WGXC programmers broadcasting during the week from our Carnegie Room. For information about using the space for a meeting of your own, please call the library at 518-943-4230.
And we are back, and it is time for Eclectomaniac Events with Jeff McKinney. Take it away, Jeff.
Coming up this Saturday, this sounds pretty cool. The Columbia Land Conservancy and Super Soul Yoga are hosting a hike followed by a yoga session at the Shore Conservation Area. That's in East Chatham. Saturday, June 22nd, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. The classes are suitable for all levels of yoga experience, and it's $15. And register, you can check in with Super Soul Yoga. They're in Chatham. You can give them a call or look at their website or go to clctrust.org. for more info and to register.
Awesome.
And something completely different than nature and yoga, Lebanon Valley Speedway's Eve of Destruction is coming up.
Eve of Destruction.
Tuesday, July 2nd from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. One night of extreme mayhem with school bus race, trailer race, rollover contest.
What does that even mean?
I have no idea. I'm guessing they get vehicles going really fast and cut the wheels so they roll over.
See how many times you can roll, and like skipping a rock, if you get it, skipping a stone across the water, if you get it to roll four times, you win. Or
oh, you got four.
That's bizarre.
Four rolls. There's also a hood and trunk race.
Whatever. What the hell is that?
I don't know. There's a truck tug of war, and then there's some more typical races, four cylinders, pure stocks, that kind of thing. Stunts and much, much more.
Wait a minute. You're throwing a lot at me right now. So truck tug of war, would that be
just what it
the
sounds.
Trucks would be in reverse, like trying to pull. Who thinks of these things?
That's awesome. Lebanon Valley Speedway.
They have great French fries. They do.
Go for the fries. Go for the fries. Stay for the mayhem. So that's Lebanon Valley Speedway. That's over in West Lebanon, New York. And finally, so this is actually coming up. We'll have another show. We'll have the July show before this, but I wanted to start talking it up now because I'm involved with it. So I'm just going to take advantage of that. Chatham Summerfest 2019 is July 20th. And this is something I've been working with the CABA group as part of the festival's planning committee.
The what group?
CABA, it's Chatham Area Business and Arts. It's the like local village business alliance.
Okay. Ooh, you're moving and shaking.
Yes, yes, I am. We have been working very hard to pull off a really spectacular Summerfest this year because 2019 is the 150th anniversary of the incorporation of the village Chatham.
Cool.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot going on. There are going to be two stages with music and entertainment. There's going to be food trucks, farmers market, artisan vendors, all the shops will be open. There's also going to
be a special commemorative beer from Chatham Brewing, also right there on Main Street. And a lot of fun activities for kids, including face painting. And there's going to be train rides on an authentic reproduction train that will offer rides to kids and adults. So it's like old-timey looking train shrunk down and real bright and colorful. And that's going to be there in town to give rides.
Check you out.
Yeah, so that's Saturday, July 20th, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. in the Village of Chatham. Main Street will be closed off to vehicles from, I think, around the morning up until about 6 p.m. or so.
Okay.
And then after that, there's still things going on, like especially entertainment at Chatham Brewing.
Woohoo!
Right on. There you go.
Go summer.
Yes. Summer. It's here. And we like it. Thanks, all Jeff right. McKinney!
Keeping him in the know.
Always keeping our dance cards full. So what's next? Ooh, Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber is next.
Ooh.
Ooh, spooky. Okay, I'm obsessed with the song. This marks their third collaboration, and this is the Barry Harris Moonbaton Club Mix.
All right. Hey, Barry.
This is Sheeran and Bieber.
Yeah.
was a day so like blue. There was a day so like blue.
That was Mr. Beck.
I love Beck.
Me too.
I love that song.
Isn't it groovy?
Like the percussion levels and just the sounds. It's just got a real drive to it.
Well, you know who he worked with on it?
New.
Pharrell.
Oh.
So that is a complete Pharrell collaboration. They co-wrote it and co-produced it together.
That explains a lot.
It does. It's very Neptune-ish.
Yeah.
First single from Beck's forthcoming album, Hyperspace.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said, him and Pharrell were in the studio with their big hats on, working
they
on this
both
song.
Do like big hats?
They're Smokey the Bear hats working on this jam together. Okay, so let's talk about Prince for a second.
Oh,
because we always have to talk about Prince.
What?
The originals?
Yeah, fascinating.
Fascinating.
Rock, rock, holly rock.
I have to say, if this is what we're in for. Yeah. With how the Prince Estate is going to handle things, then to me, they're doing a good job so far.
Yeah.
Piano and a microphone was a great release. This is such an a phenomenal idea.
Yeah.
In case you do not know, the latest Prince project to be authorized by the estate is called Originals, and it is Prince performing the tracks that he gave to other artists. An example, Sex Shooter that Apollonia 6 sang, and mm-hmm. Purple Rain. Manic Monday, I'm assuming, is on there.
Yes. And it's a really nice
version. By the Bangles.
Yeah, it's a much more chill version than the Bangles. It has kind of, I don't know, it's a sweet version.
I haven't heard anything from it yet. I am fascinated to hear it. What a great idea.
It is.
Thumbs up.
Yes.
Yep. Six thumbs up here in the studio.
Yep.
All right, the next track that we're going to play was inspired by my trip to Barcelona, and only because I watched Bohemian Rhapsody on the plane.
I loved it.
So good.
Yeah.
Rami Malek, he was fantastic. It was voted the greatest driving song ever by viewers of the BBC television program Top Gear. It is a great driving song.
It's a great driving song. Thanks.
And it was recently featured on the soundtrack to the 2019 superhero film Shazam. So, this is Queen for your ears.
Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive. And the world, I'm turning inside out. Yeah. I'm floating around in ecstasy. So, don't stop. Having a good time, having a good time. I'm a shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity. I'm a racing car passing by like Lady Godiva. I'm gonna go, go, go. There's no stopping me. I'm burning through the sky, yeah. 200 degrees, that's why they call me Mr. Fahrenheit. I'm traveling at the speed of light. I wanna make a supersonic man out of you.
Oh, I just love it.
I didn't really care that much for the movie, but the movie did really make me want to listen to the music more.
What did you like about the movie?
I don't know. I just thought it was all right.
There's that McKinney.
I don't love it.
I don't love it.
We'll see how the Elton John movie compares. And of course, Elton is already saying, giving his little digs as he's so good at. He's like, well, you know, the actor in my movie really sings. Such a queen.
Nasty. But in Bohemian Rhapsody, he sang the first parts, and then they mixed it into Freddie Mercury. They mixed their vocals together.
Oh, I didn't know that. Guess what, guys? We've reached top of the mountain, or whatever you want to say, the edge of the cliff, the end of the road. Another show in the can. But we're going to leave you with, what was that? Seth Davis?
Nothing.
Oh. If you have something to say, say it for the whole class.
Yes. I have nothing to say.
Okay, so we're going to leave you with a little Mariah Carey.
Aww.
Who's actually getting really solid reviews for her tour, her Caution World Tour. They're saying it's great fun, and she's in good voice, and it's a good show.
Is it really her, or maybe it's a hologram?
Oh my God, did you guys hear about that with the Whitney estate?
Yes.
No. Ugh, and Dionne Warwick. It's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
They're going to do a hologram concert?
A hologram tour with Whitney Houston.
She thinks it's stupid.
I do too.
I never thought I'd live to see the day where I would agree with Dionne Warwick, but I agree.
She's such a controversial figure.
So this is Make It Happen, the Jet Boot Jack remix, third single from Mariah's second studio album, Emotions, from 1991, written by Mariah with CNC Music Factory, Mr. David Cole and Robert Clavellis. Our sincere thanks to the fabulous Love Connie for visiting with us. You can see her new web series, Conniewood, on the streaming network Wow Presents Plus at wow-presents.com. Continued success to you, and keep on keeping on. A huge thanks to all of you for listening and for your continued support of the show. Hit me up on Instagram at TonyATLarge. And remember, additional details on the events discussed during the show can be found at ColumbiaCountyCurrent.com. If you have not already, kindly consider becoming a sustaining supporter of this great station. We cannot do it without you. Remember, love is the answer. Happy Pride to all. And me and the boys wish you a fantastic summer. We'll catch you on the flip side. Good night.
Bye.